Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Everybody, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy because everybody managed to snap up a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. Today, we are going to put myself in the hagman's noose, as it were. We have both Joe and Doug, otherwise known as Hagman and Hagman. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Sir, thank you very much for having us. It's a pleasure. It's an honor to be in New Zealand right now, where I understand it's a cool 63 degrees and slight rain.
Yeah, glad to be here with you. This is exciting.
It's an honor to be on your program. I'll tell you what, you're a legend in broadcasting. As far as we are concerned, being in New Zealand, we follow you. You have a fantastic program, fantastic lineup. You touch topics that no one else will. You deliver information. Of course, you don't need our endorsement. You just do a great job.
Yeah, and I'm also a shameless self-promoter. But every bit of promotion from other people really feeds my narcissism and ego, so that's all good.
Ah, your middle name might not be Obama, would it? Never mind. Sorry about that. Nah, bad joke.
Actually, it's Satoru. We kind of want to be satorical during this show, you know?
Okay. Right.
All right. So, the people that are tuning into the show probably know who I am, hopefully, but even me personally, and I must apologize for this gentleman just being rushed off my feet over the last 48 hours. I think I must have done like 14 videos and like 8 audio archives and stuff on the show and like 7 different radio programs that I've been on. It's just been absolutely nuts. The result of which being I haven't had the capacity to research you guys. So we're going to adopt one of my old customs. Well, tell us who you are and what it is you do.
Well, I guess I'll field that question. Once again, my name is Doug Hagman. I am the founder and director of an entity called the Northeast Intelligence Network. We're located on the internet at homelandsecurityus.com. That's homelandsecurityus.com. Now, that's not related to any government agency. I grabbed that domain in, I think it was 2002, and we started out as a network of professional investigators across the United States, hooked up with the FBI, turned a lot of, or did a lot of surveillance of Islamic terrorist websites. And as time progressed, and by the way, we also turned the information over on the private side of things to the FBI, to the Department of Justice here in the United States. Some of the information made it to Interpol, and as well as other countries, anti-terrorist, counter-terrorist agencies. Now, as time progressed, we also opened up a public side from 2002 to forward, where we posted information, articles, and what have you on our website. And right about, it was sometime in the, right after Bush's second term, probably mid term two of George W. Bush, we began to wonder, because of our investigative and surveillance findings, just who the enemy really was. It got to the point, sir, where we were not able to determine who the good guys were and who the good bad guys were. And that disturbed us a great deal. So what we had done, we have evolved since that initial mission statement, and really researched, studied, and determined that, hey, you know what? Things are not as they appear. And I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about the government war on terror, if you will. And I know this is first grade to your listeners, and first grade to you, certainly, or kindergarten. But it took me, as a reformed neocon, if you will, quite a bit of time, quite a bit of research, quite a bit of real world scenarios to understand what was going on. That said, my son, who's also a researcher and investigator within our network, began to evolve a lot quicker than me. And what we have now established is, it's going on now a year old, is a something totally different than what we started out at as, and that's the Hagman and the Hagman Report, which is a three-hour nightly radio program heard on Blog Talk Radio, simulcast on various terrestrial stations here in the United States.
If I may, allegedly, yes. Each show is downloaded around about a million times.
Well, no, not quite those numbers. We've hit 2 million within the last 30 days. So, I mean, we're inching toward that mark. It's
our audience just continues to grow and expand, and
40 countries. We're downloaded by 40 countries right now.
And the numbers that we count are just from BTR. If we add up all the other ways that people get our show out through streaming and different things, it is a lot more than that. But
yeah, it's well into the five figures.
I mean, we are so blessed. For sure.
And we've had a look at the Alexa.com rankings as well. 12,534 in the U.S. So there's a little over 12,500 websites that are currently bigger than you. So that's a pretty phenomenal achievement in and of itself. I'm at like the 500,000 mark. So another part of this is the reason why people tune into you is not necessarily because you're an uber professional news show and program or whatever. It's actually because the information that you put out is so extraordinary in light of your experience. I mean, we have down here that you've done somewhat 40,000 hours of covert surveillance in your career. You're an author of a book called Tactical Surveillance and even a member of the International Counterterrorism Officers Association. So when you talk to somebody like you who has such authority when you speak that you're not messing around, you're somebody who was previously in the shadows, now coming forward, it is no surprise at your popularity.
Well, thank you. It surprises us. Our popularity surprises us because we don't deliver a very polished program. I mean, certainly we can't, and we don't strive to be like the a syndicated talk show host. We're not political, but we do. We're investigators by profession, and I've been an investigator for almost 30 years now. So, and I've also been an operational asset for the Department of Justice for the FBI as well. Worked, undercover covert operations for the Department of Justice back in the day. So, together we have. Just a combined experience of, I don't know, maybe 45 years in this realm, and we've developed many contacts within the Central Intelligence Agency, within the FBI. But let me just preface that by saying, or amend that by saying, the contacts that we developed and have retained and maintained are, in fact, people who are saying, look, we know what's going on, and we're not liking this agenda that is being forced down the throats of Americans and the globalists, by the globalists. So, kind of a Cliff Notes version, that's who we are, how we came to be, where we're at right now, and we're excited because we know you're a legend in New Zealand and worldwide. We know what you do. And we are basically, I'll just say this, we're striving to be like you because, in terms of your show, getting it out, getting information out to people, and you tread where others fear to tread. So we want to thank you for that. So there's mutual admiration there.
Well, it's not that I'm fearless, it's that I'm, basically reckless.
Sometimes they go hand in hand, you know. But I don't think you're reckless. I think you're deliberate, and I think that you're a very formidable. You're very formidable. Your program is, and I don't want to. You know, it's not hollow praise. It's you deal with topics that others should be talking about.
Yeah, we need more people like you to speak the truth, and regardless of where or what the truth, who it hurts or what they're. We have to have the agenda of 100% truth, and that is what makes your show, our show, different from the mainstream media, is we're not afraid to go there. And if the mainstream media would just tell the truth, I mean, their viewership would go through the roofs, but that's obviously, can't do that.
Truth is not out there, and I've been on Fox. I've been a guest on Fox News television. I've been a guest with Dr. Savage and other syndicated, nationally syndicated, internationally syndicated talk show hosts. I got to tell you, and of course, Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie worldwide, but at the end of the day, it's your programs like yours, and hopefully programs like ours, that get the truth out there and wake people up, because people need to wake up right now. It might already be too late. I hopefully that's not the case. I'm an optimist, so.
Yeah. Well, I've only just been in the mainstream media myself in the Waikato Times. I'm just holding up the paper there for the webcam viewers on YouTube there. And what's been interesting is that reporter said to my producer, look, you're not going to convince me about the chemtrail thing. Now, for anybody who's trying to report facts, figures, and review evidence, to come with the preposition of you're not going to convince me is dangerous. And as you said, if the mainstream media did start talking about these things that we do, their viewership would go right up. And my friend Jonathan Eisen from Uncensored Magazine here in New Zealand has indeed participated in two 60 Minutes specials, one about the cancer cures for cannabis and another about chemtrails and conspiracy theory alternative media in general and how it's filling the gap. And those were the two highest rated 60 Minutes shows in New Zealand history.
Wow. And I want to say this to skeptics of chemtrails. In an article from April 30th of this year, Obama's science advisor, John Holdren, says chemtrails will save the planet. I mean, he wrote a paper admitting that they are doing these geoengineering programs, spraying the skies with whatever materials they are. We know that they're aluminum, barium, sometimes sulfur. They have different. They're heavy metals, and it's terrible. But yeah, I mean, they admit it.
But
they
right.
admit they're doing it.
But to go back just a little ways here, and look, you talk about a skeptic. I'm having testified in court so many times in federal, state, local courts, and having to deal with evidence, I was a biggest skeptic about chemtrails. I thought, you know, anyone who talks about this, they're Looney Tunes, absolutely Looney Tunes. But I got to tell you this. After doing research, being the gumshoe by profession, being a gumshoe by and doing the research, I'm going to tell you something. The evidence is out there. It is not conspiracy. It is not. I mean, this is absolutely 100%
fact.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Joe. So, and God bless you for fighting the good fight to take that truth out there. I mean. Man, it's undeniable. And so I can't, you know, without, I mean, intellectual discourse, honest reporting, if people would look at the evidence, look at the facts.
Well, hold on a second. You're saying that it's undeniable. I'm of the opinion that humans have the capacity to deny anything.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Normalcy bias, too. You know, of course. But again, if you are intellectually honest and take the time to look at the evidence before you open your mouth and poo-poo something like this, because I would have been the first one, you know, 5-6 years ago. Oh, come on. You're out of your mind. You're nuts. No. It's there. They're doing it. We are the victims. We, the people of planet Earth, are the victims. And why in the heck is no one talking about this?
Yeah.
More.
Well, there's an old saying by Mark Twain: when an honest man is confronted with the truth that he's wrong, he will either cease to be wrong or cease to be honest.
Oh, fantastic.
That's what we have now globally. Is we have a affinity for dishonesty. We think that dishonesty gets us forward, when the reality is it actually truly holds us back, but in different ways. One can lie, cheat, and steal their way, and sure enough, get to the top. And it seems that the industries, no matter which industry it is, are so dishonest by their very nature that anybody coming in with a absolutely pure intention, heart on the sleeve type of mentality will be identified, sabotaged, and taken out in terms of their capacity to grow larger. And the American Medical Journal stated in a report, I think in 2004, that psychopaths are a person who comes up to you that's really nice, smiley and lovely and friendly and enchanting, but has no real depths to their character, no long-lasting relationships outside of business, and they tend to cluster in the power centers, namely the three primary areas being entertainment, business, and politics. So if psychopaths naturally gravitate towards those, it suddenly makes sense why the entirety of the system that we live in is psychopathic. We'll be right back after the break with the Hagmans.
No one's gonna take me.
With the guys, they won't be able to join us in the final segment because they'll be busily, furiously preparing for their own show, and I know how that can be. So I'm actually just kind of over the break, it dawned on me just who I'm interviewing, and it's you're going to give me like near on 2 hours of your time. That's extraordinarily honoring for me kind of thing. And the fact that you guys even appreciate my show or even heard of it at all when I have not reciprocated or listened to an entirety of one of your shows at all is again, I feel almost at a loss, like indebted in some way.
Nah, don't feel that way. Look, here's the thing. We look at you as a truth bearer, as a bearer of light to a dark agenda out there. And you know what? We all have to stick together. We really do, because what's at stake here? And you know probably more than most Americans what's at stake. So we can all work together.
Yeah, that's true. And unfortunately, my producer tells me I know more about America than most Americans. That's the sad thing, eh? You know your country's not in a good place when a guy 10,000 kilometers away knows more about your country than you do.
That's how true is that? Yeah. That's sad, too.
It is sad. The disconnection of reality, the American people so glued to their entertainment and reality TV, they can't get into the real reality, which is, a million times more scary and exciting than the TV shows. But people are going to learn the hard way, apparently, and that's the sad fact. It's not going to affect them until it's at their front door. Then they'll be screaming, and nobody will be there to help them.
Yeah, and that's part of what I wanted to do as well. Look, there aren't really any other New Zealanders who are on radio, perhaps, as I am, and so I'm one of the few foreign voices that, from this part of the world at least, that Americans will get to hear. And point being, you're not alone, guys. Okay, we're all under this big Nazi jackboot together. And just like a million ants or whatever, we're just going to have to push it off ourselves. And the thing being, because we're all part of the same system, the entirety of the system globally has to be taken down simultaneously in my analysis in order for us all to break free at once. You know, I'm not sure if the totalitarian tiptoe can be overthrown instantly without some kind of a libertarian or moral tiptoe coming back in the other way. So it's a work in progress. And I see so many young truthers get into this thinking that they're going to change the world in a matter of months with their new documentary or whatever. And suddenly they realize, no, nothing's actually changed, but things are just really small, step by step, so that you can barely even notice, but the change is happening nonetheless, much like the New World Order operates.
You know, and I'll tell you from as the older guy here, and of course, you know, our operation is myself, and of course my son, and I'm immensely proud of my son. He's 29 years old, and he's got a great handle on. As a matter of fact, he has a better handle on certain things than I have. But it's really something when people really realize exactly what's going on, the global nature, the globalist agenda, the people who are out there, what they're, you know, I got to tell you something, having investigated murders, having investigated some of the most hideous, heinous, vile, vicious murders and crimes over the last 30 years, I have never in my life seen such an evil agenda as these globalist SOBs with their agenda, and it's real, and it's coming to a village, a town, a state, a nation near you.
Rather, it's already there.
True.
And the other elements that are brought into it, and these are the things that happen. I think, who was it? I forget. She was a, it might have been Catherine Albrecht. I usually ask towards the end of the show, is there anything that you normally don't talk about for fear that people might not comprehend you or misjudge you or something of that nature? And she said, yeah, Christianity. I'm a deep believer in the Bible, which is why I've written books about the mark of the beast and the spy chips and all of this nature. And I don't normally mention that. And apparently my producer's listens to your show every night. And he says that you guys have a very intensely focused perspective on the New World Order vis-a-vis Christianity. Is that true?
Yes, it is. We actually, our show is based on the Bible and Christianity, and we look at the current events and what's going on in the world through the Bible and the prophecies given in the Bible, and we've had many experts, I would say, in different fields of spirituality that have come on, and pastors, and we discuss these things, these spiritual matters, what is taking place now. As we have said on our show, as I have said on our show for months before the election results in my mind didn't matter. This country is a sinking ship, and the only thing left to do, in my opinion, is to save souls. And that's what our goal is to bring people to the Lord and deliver his message while also reporting on the news and current events and how it all fits together.
Yeah, and when you walk, when you look at the problems, the globalist agenda, the various components of the agenda, when you start walking it back like an investigation, at least I realized, or I've come to the realization, that what we're ultimately looking at here is a fight between good and evil, between I mean, that's where it lies, between good and evil. And there is a spiritual component to that, a biblical component as well. And when you line up the newspapers, the headlines of newspapers today, and you know, tie it to scripture, tie it to prophetic writings of thousands of years ago, the parallels, the comparisons, it's amazing. So, you know, that is part of our worldview, is that. Now, we don't we don't preach or prophesize for as a radio show. However, we recognize the fact that there is this good element and the evil element, and we have to look at, in certain circumstances, we have to look at the marriage or at what's going on at that level. And once we go to that level, then various other things begin to make sense, especially when we're talking about what's going on with Israel, Jerusalem, in the Middle East, Lebanon, Jordan, Syria, Turkey, all of this, Russia, ultimately Russia. It's in China even. That's our approach. I don't know if that clarifies things or muddies it more, but...
Well, my knowledge of American history is that there was very little government for the first 150 odd years, and incidentally, very little crime, very little ignorance, and very little conflict. I mean, the Wild West, as was touted in the films about lawlessness and all of that kind of stuff. The reason why Billy the Kid and some of these other Wild West criminals rose to fame is because it was incredibly rare for anybody to pull off more than one crime before getting shot. And part of the reason for this this ethos, which dominated the country for so long, was because there was a large Christian element who directly read the Bible to their children in it, and it instilled morals, ethics, and things of that nature from a very young age. And essentially, that cultural indoctrination, make what you will of it, made the country the place that it was.
Well, you know, our second president here in America, John Adams, he said back in around 1800, he said, look, our Constitution was made for a moral and a religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And if you look at the assaults being made on our Constitution today, and over the last really 100 years, but acceleration of those assaults over the last decade, and maybe decade and a half, we can see where John Adams was coming from. And I know Joe has strong feelings about that as well. So,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, this country is not a Christian nation anymore. The people even I would say, you know, half the people who consider themselves to be Christians leave it at the church on Sundays. They do not live it. They do not try to grow in their relationship with the Lord. And like you said, it affects, it's a trickle-down effect. It affects, look at the generation of children we have now and the just the increase in violence and murders. Well, that is a direct result of parents who would rather, you know, watch their TV programs or do what they want to do than teach their kids. And, you know, I'd say another generation, if we even make it that long, God will be a myth or something that you would be persecuted for even bringing up.
Yeah, and if I can add one more thing here, I don't mean to, we don't mean to dominate the show here, but, you know, our economic problems and those of Greece and Spain, and we see what's happening in Europe here, just the economy alone and what is taking place, the wholesale thefts and this is not only immoral and unethical, well, not only illegal, but it's immoral, unethical, and certainly it is an insult, regardless of your belief system. It is an insult to God. That alone. And at the end of the day, it's all about the money. It's all about the economy. As investigators, you know, we just 90% of the time we follow the money, and there's your answer. And of course, the Bible. You know, and look, I'm not a, I can't quote scripture. I mean, I'm not a, but I can say this. You know, I do know that in the Bible there is a quote that says the love of money is the root of all evil. That certainly is a component, but even bigger still, these globalists, even, you know, people say, well, they've got all the money that they need. What are they looking for? Well, they're buying the future. And I had an intelligence contact tell me that, and I didn't quite understand what he meant. But they're buying the future. And these people thinking, you know, generations, not in years, but generations, and in hundreds and 200 years from now. And that's what we're seeing.
That's funny, because there's an awful lot of futures trading going on Wall Street, isn't there?
Yeah. The stock market is just like our economy being up, held up. It's a straw man. It's going to collapse. It's not a matter of if. It's just a matter of when. And, you know, here we have Bloomberg Radio, and they talk a lot about the stock markets. And you can hear them with their lies, just, you know, telling people, oh, you know, it's, you need to invest. But the big CEO owners and the wealthy aren't investing, but you should invest your money.
Well, sure. You know what surprises me? I mean, Vinny, I don't know if you have this, and I'm sure, maybe you do. It's this appearance or feeling of normalcy, when in fact, you know, it's anything but normal. But yet people are walking around going to big box stores, but making purchases, extending their credit and thinking that they're walking around like there's nothing wrong, that we're the idiots. We're the people with two heads. We're the people that who are sounding the alarm bells. We're the ones that are wrong. Yet it's an illusion to them. I mean, they're the ones that are delusional when you really start looking at this.
Yeah, as I've said for a long time, the people running around waving protest banners who look like they were attacked, looks like their clothing was attacked by a giant moth or something of that nature, they're the sane ones. The crazy ones are the people who walk right by without even looking at anything but their shoes.
Yeah, it's amazing the lack of care of what's happening in this world. People think because things are, you know, in Europe, the unrest, economic unrest in Europe is happening, and it's over in another continent. And the Middle East wars that are going on, that's in another continent. It can't happen here. This is America. We're too big to fail. It's that too big to fail mentality. And those people are going to be in for a rude awakening.
Indeed. If I can ask you, what's on your radar? You know, what are you looking at? What's
seriously?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Personal relationships and collaborations with people within the truth movement and the new media. I don't call it alternative media anymore, because the alternative implies that it's not the main media, right? I like to call it new media because it implies that the current main media is old and crusty. We'll be right back after the break with Hackman and Hackman, the Hackman's Noose, right here on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Back in a minute.
Well, there's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our standards have gone with us.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go freaking nuts. Very special guests are Hackman and Hackman from the Hackman and Hackman Show. Joe and Doug. I love that. Have you noticed how so many people have extremely cliche names like Joe and Doug? The American boys, you know. I can imagine you know, with bandanas around your heads or something of that nature, walking through some foreign jungle, picking off snipers with a coffee leaf or some camouflage backpacks or some kind of crap on, you know.
that was last month.
That was when we were on vacation.
Yeah, you know, it's we do what we can, and we're in the surveillance business, and you know, so we see both sides of this Big Brother stuff. And when I say surveillance, I'm talking about, you know, for private entities that was our profession, and it's amazing what you can learn There's just the whole process, the big brotherization of the globalist agenda has just taken off recently. Ah, it's amazing.
Now, thinking about the globalist agenda, it's essentially, some kind of dark occulted mysticism practicing a satanic cult who are completely insane, with total unrestrained power. And every single time somebody's propped up like that, they've wind up they always wind up destroying the society that they're in charge of, and usually always go down themselves as well, such as the nature of history. You get real powerful, you get drunk on the power, and then the alcohol of the power kills you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, and what we're seeing today, and I don't think this is—I don't think anyone can deny this—the agenda that's in play today in America, for example, you know, the headlines across the world, we're seeing our military being marginalized by scandals, by a purge of our flag officers, or you know, high level officers. We're seeing the destruction of political will to fight what's going on, the socialization of this country, which, I mean, essentially it's already been socialized. We are a captured country. But we're also seeing a third leg of the stool, which is the cherry or the nut, if you will, is the economic destruction, the takedown of the dollar, which is going to make the people with the globalist agenda, you know, wealthy beyond belief, but then enslave the entire population of this country. And when we talk about this, you know, people look at us like, or you know, they think, man, these guys are just out there. Well, no, you know, once again, if people would do their research, do their homework, it's clear what's going on. I mean, if a person cannot look at the global headlines or the headlines across the paper of any paper in the world and understand and not see it. Man, wow. You know, talk about denial. You know, talk about refusing to believe what's taking place. But in particular, those three things are taking place in America right now. And then we're exporting this this globalist agenda by way of our president Barack Hussein Obama into Libya, North Africa, and of course into Syria, Lebanon, Turkey, Jordan, and Vinny, I got to tell you something. Joe and I were talking about this earlier today. We are right now at the precipice of World War III. Start compliments of really the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the central banks. This is where we're at right now, and it's not going to, you know, Putin has said World War III is not going to start in Iran. It might end there. It's going to start in Syria. That's Syria's Putin's red line in the sand. This is what we're facing. But yet, anybody or anything that people can talk about right now, or the only thing people can talk about in America right now, is the sex scandals. It defies explanation.
Well, maybe because they're all feeling a bit effed.
Well, yeah.
Well, here's the geopolitical situation is kind of like, well, have a look again back through history. Who financed both sides of World War I? Oh yeah, that's right, the Rothschild banking cartel. Who financed both sides of World War II? Oh, the Rothschild banking cartel. So if there's going to be a third world war, I guarantee who's going to be funding both sides again. And goodness knows what weapons we're going to be fighting the third world war with, but there's an old saying, the fourth world war is going to be fought with rocks and sticks.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you heard, I mean, and I don't know how common knowledge this is, we're missing 3 nuclear weapons from our arsenal. I mean, they've been missing for the last about 5 years now. Have you heard that?
Like a broken arrow.
Yeah. It happened in 07, where an inventory of nuclear weapons were transported from Minot Air Force Base here in the United States, and they just fell out of the inventory. And I had a conversation with a high-ranking intelligence officer, and very quietly, of course, he'd never, to keep his cover, you know, the anonymity is required, but he said, look, people don't realize this, man. People don't realize that there's stuff like this out there, and the threat is real. And
Talking to a mate of mine the other day, and he says, you know, we should exterminate 90% of them, because 90% of them are so freaking stupid that it would actually be benefits. You know, the Illuminati are the good guys, and it's their own fault for being caught up in all of this and being so ignorant. And I said, bro, that's like blaming a fish for getting caught in your net.
Mm-hmm. And to go back to your point about the Rothschilds funding the wars, how I understand they look at it is, you know, which the countries asked them for the money. They didn't, you know, bring about the wars and cause the wars, so it's not their fault, you know.
They asked for it.
Yeah. It's this mentality they have. We had a guest on, Doc Marquis. He came on our show last Wednesday, and he is an expert, I guess you'd say, in the Illuminati. And he talked about how these people really think and what drives them. And they, according to him, they truly believe that Lucifer is, you know, the God, the true God, and that They're delusioned into believing this, and they're carrying out this agenda to bring about the final battle of Armageddon, and they think they're going to win. So this is the madness that is behind these elites.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Well, it's simple insanity, and the way that they implement their insanity and push it onto other people. You ever lived or been a flatmate with somebody who was just absolutely crazy, and you have to deal with their BS all day, every day? They're either depressed or just a bit of a psycho or a chronic thief or something like that. I've lived with all three of those people, and in some cases, some of the people were more than one or two of those personality types. But it's the thing. You can either kick them out of your house and refuse to put up with their stuff, or they're going to ruin your home life. And that's what we've got here. We've got these criminal psychopaths living in our home, Earth, as it were, who are messing up our lives. Kick them out of the house. Sorry, yeah. Guys. Imagine if you had SWAT teams evicting these people from their gargantuan mansions in the countryside or something like that, you know, serve them with an eviction notice, and they're like, but this is unlawful. And I said, yeah, but that's how we evict people now, unlawfully. You know, you think you'd be any different?
No. This has always been a question of mine, a nagging question. What is it going to take for people to wake up? I mean, for people to really wake up, is it when it happens to them?
It's trauma. In my experience, I talk to a lot of activists and people like that who fight for the greater good, and almost every single one of them has either had very, very bad things happen to them or have been parlay and seen very, very bad things happening. And the key here is trauma. Trauma wakes you up more than anything else. It gets your senses excited, and it puts drive in your life and that sort of thing. And I was wondering about this. What if truthers were to pull a false flag on other truthers and dress up as some kind of a stormtrooper and beat them over the head with a billy club and spray them in the eyes with pepper spray in order to get them to wake up? You know, wake up, wake up, there's tyranny. it would work. The methodology of the enemy does work. However, from a moral standpoint, you cannot do that.
Yes.
And more to the point, from a New World Order standpoint, you don't have to, because sure enough, they'll soon enough get beaten over the head with billy clubs. They'll sure enough get kicked out of their homes. They'll sure enough see the food run out on the shelves. Then they'll wake up. The question is not whether or not they wake up. The question is whether or not it will be too late when it happens. You listen to the Vinnie Ashwood Show. One more hour coming up with Hagman and Hagman. We'll be right back after the break at VinnieAshwoodShow.com.
Yeah, we need to.
Everybody, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. You can join us in the chat room at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com if you're listening in. And my chat room doesn't get that many people, but apparently your guys gets several hundred at any one show. So that's pretty substantial. And I was thinking about this the other day as well. Audience participation and connection with these people who they admire, you know, radio show hosts or whatever. I mean, no ego about it. We are people who are admired by other people within the truth movement. And it actually makes them feel really awesome to get to meet us and talk with us or give us info and things like that. So it becomes an obligation to attempt to reciprocate that relationship. And very few hosts do it.
No, yeah, you make a great point. First of all, Joe and I, we're just common folk, okay? Just attempting to get the word out there, but the responsibility associated with providing information, like you do, like we do, an attempt to be as accurate as possible without understating or overstating the information and just providing the facts. It's so important. It's a responsibility that we have to take seriously. And then, of course, the people that do listen to us and all of us, you know, you and us, you know, we have a responsibility to them too, because we look, in our case, we look at our core listener audience as extended family and the leaders of their own families, of their own communities, who will go out there and attempt to awaken others. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah, it's a one-step, two-step, three-step program. And if you have a look at the analogy of waking up, what do you do after you wake up in the morning? You normally go to the bathroom, don't you, to get the Shiite Muslim out of your system. And people don't realize that they've actually got to get the crap out of their system before they can go to work against the New World Order. And a lot of people jump the gun and get on the radio after not clearing out their kind of issues and what have you, and they become the radio hosts who are full of crap.
You know, yeah, and isn't it funny that that we see this with, I know here in the States, you've got the people, the talk show hosts that will not broach certain subjects, and the majority of the talk show hosts on both sides of the political aisle here in the States, it's all theater. I mean, the substance is rarely touched. The new media is now becoming the truth media, and the people. Joe and I see this. People are thirsty, hungry for the truth, hungry for programs like yours, hungry for programs like ours, where they can get the truth, the real news, without the political bias or the.
I don't know. I disagree with that. I was down at Occupy Auckland, and one of the guys came up to me and he says, "Vinny, I love you the way that you report news, because it's not biased." And I go, "Why are you kidding me? It's really biased. It's just the kind of bias you want."
Well, yeah, well said, and point taken. So, yeah, Look at it this way.
The news media is totally biased in one completely opposite direction, i.e. lies and what have you. So we'll be completely biased in another direction with the truth. And somewhere around, there will become a balance.
Well said. Well said.
So let's get into some of your actual information, because we've been talking about ideas and generality, but that your skill base is in fact critical analysis and laying out facts and figures. And my producer has been screaming at me to get you guys to talk about how the FBI and CIA and maybe other alphabet agencies have quote-unquote gone rogue. Would you expand on that?
Well, yeah, I guess, Joe, I can touch on this a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I guess the easiest way to explain this, because what we're seeing right now is kind of a very convoluted, very twisted situation. But if we look back in history, you know, Hitler was appointed Chancellor of Germany back in 1933. And what did he do? He moved very quickly to marginalize and then dispense entirely with, first of all, the German legislature, the Reichstag. But you know, then he, as he was honing his dictatorial powers, what did he do? Well, he was purging the German military of any factions that were in any way autonomous and not 100% loyal to him. So what are we seeing today here in America? It would appear, as we look beyond the sex, the salacious headlines and the scandalous trysts and what have you, is we see the same thing playing out. The potential threats that exist in the flag corps, the four-star generals and above, and the high-ranking generals who pose any threat to this this messianic figure in some eyes in America. There's a purge going on. And I mean, in a nutshell, that's what I believe is taking place. Now, on the flip side of that, the real difficulty, and this is from people I've talked to within the intelligence industry, that there's an overlap with the military. One source is saying, look, you know, you're not going to have the majority of the people, the soldiers, if you will, the people turning on the American people at the behest or, you know, because of any loyalty to Barack Hussein Obama, the ostensible president of the United States. Well, there are just a number of differing viewpoints on this. But working backwards, looking at the purge, is this, and we ask this, could this very well be a Hitler-esque type of purge of people who are not loyal to Obama, but loyal to the Constitution? That's the question right now. And history shows that this has happened before in tyrannical governments and those adhering to fascism. Much like Hitler, and I know people, many people are too quick to throw the word Nazi and fascist and Hitler into the discussion. And I know that turns a lot of people off. The first mention of that, it's like, oh, these guys are whack jobs. But wait a minute, look at 1930s Germany and look what's happening to this country of America.
Yeah, you're marginalized. The Department of Homeland Security puts out these lexicons on domestic extremists, possible terrorists. Listed in those are people who are constitutionalists, patriots, alternative media, anti-abortionists, lovers of liberty, people who oppose centralized federal authority. So you can see how they are just really doing their best as a government, as a Gestapo, to label pretty much anybody who doesn't 100% agree with their perspective and label them as a terrorist. And the labeling has started. Now we're seeing the implementation and the SWAT teams being rolled out as countless radio show hosts, journalists have been arrested or detained on no-fly list or whatever the case may be. It's the walls are closing in.
Harassed. I suppose harassment would be the state right now. The arrests will come later. Now there have been some new media talk show hosts that have been picked up for allegedly being a little bit too outspoken against the current regime. I don't even want to call it an administration; it's a regime. You know, so we're seeing this intimidation take place right now. The Constitution of the United States is being assaulted on a daily, hourly basis by the people in power here. And, unless something, and the other thing too, internally here in the United States that we're seeing incredibly ramp up right now, is this divide among people. And I got to tell you, knowing this for a fact, because of our contacts within the intelligence venue, look, there are at least 3,000 people that are working for, that are getting paid by this government, but working for Obama, that do nothing but every day salt the internet, create divisiveness on forums, on internet forums, on what would you call those? Websites that have the back and forth talk.
Yeah, there's forums and Facebook and Twitter. This goes on all over the place. Just the other day, a lady named I think it was Barbara Brainfart or something. It wasn't her actual name, Brainfart. It just kind of sounds similar to that, and I can't remember the first one because the second one was far more appropriate in my opinion. But she copy pasted this rant against me, saying that Vinny's in this forum self and He's sheepish and he believes anything, and he just spouts all this tripe and he'll never get anywhere, la 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 la. And then copy pasted onto like 8 of my different Facebook posts.
Wow. See, you're a target. You speak the truth, so you're a target. And if this is happening here in the United States, and they have a global reach, of course, with the internet and to attempt to shape public opinion, marginalize the messenger, make you, Vinny, sound crazy, make us sound crazy, or attempt to, they're attacking the messenger, not the message. They have nothing to say about the message 90% of the time. And when they do say something about the message, it's talking points. Yeah, lies. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I've kind of decided that there's an armor that we should be wearing, and that's called comedy. I think part of the reason why Bill Hicks and maybe George Carlin are so effective at waking people up, like I probably credit Bill Hicks with being my wake up call kind of thing back in the early 2000s, talking about the JFK assassination, how the American government's ruled by the elite, that kind of thing. Comedy is something that produces a physical response in the body. So is truth. So what you'll do is you'll tell somebody truth, and if it assaults their current comfort zone or level that they're prepared to deal with, their armor comes up and they begin to attack you, much like a Roman army with tower shields would. Mm-hmm. And so you say the truth, and then you make a joke right after it, and then as the armor comes up, it comes back down again because they're laughing about it and they're feeling good about being exterminated. I think that's part of the reason what makes the show so fast growing as it is. I'm happy to say is that I can get through people's defenses using this, and also it armors me against any of their attacks because I can just make fun of them.
Well, as well you should, and it's disarming as well. I mean, it's a good psychological tactic.
And this is the point. Being from the intelligence community, I advocated for a long time that similar tactics that have been employed to enslave us can also be deployed in the direct opposite way to free us.
Oh, how great is that? Absolutely. Yeah, turn the tables, turn the tactics. It's a great form of defense to be used offensively in pursuit of and broadcasting of the truth. And this is fabulous. It's a great tactic, and it seems like you've mastered that comedic element there, as well as imbibing that with into the truth as well. So it's fantastic.
Mm. It's a process, but some people don't have a sense of humor.
No, and we have a friend's local radio show host here, Braveheart Radio. We go on sometimes on Saturdays. They have a show every Saturday, 3-hour show, and they do it just for getting the truth out. But they enjoy it. You know, they make jokes about it. It's really laid back.
It's cathartic. And, it's a catharsis,
and it's a great combination because when you're dealing with such depressing information, and you have to have some humor to it, or you're just gonna go crazy. I mean, there's just a point where you have to just lighten up and roll with the punches. Can't be all serious all the time.
Yeah, sometimes me and my producer, we get into laughing fits. We just go, we're so frack, bro. You know, just the situation of just being, having like, oh my God, there's no escape, there's no hope. God, that's funny.
Well, yeah, you know, exactly. And we use that too on our show when we get into this And we fall into this despair, this, my goodness, you know, the cloud hanging over our head. Of course, you know, as you use the comedy, we attempt to seek the biblical portion of it. And there are a lot of people, I mean, a large base of our listeners are Christian Christian conservatives or Christian, you know, they're active Christians. That said, they find a lot of solace, a lot of comfort in the scriptures, and we do too. I mean, that's a really the big part of it, because in the end, in the final analysis, what do we have? You know, if you do believe in God, what are we fighting for? I mean, obviously, we're fighting for something much larger than what we can see, than the material that we can see.
Yeah, and the people, and this is a problem. I see a huge problem because our show is Christian, and we talk about Scripture and the Bible. People, you know, who are in the movement of liberty and freedom, they will attack us because, you know, their beliefs on religion. When we just need to unite under freedom, under liberty, and put aside this petty difference.
Isn't freedom of religion part of the Constitution? And they attack you for practicing freedom of religion when they're supposed to be a constitutionalist libertarian. Have you noticed how hypocritical people are? They don't. They just go. Well, let me see if I can encapsulate this. When you get too full of yourself, you get too far ahead of yourself. Or run off a cliff. We'll be right back with Hagman and Hagman on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Oh yeah, turn it up! Turn it up!
Nowhere to run to, baby. Nowhere to hide. Got nowhere to run to, baby. Nowhere to hide.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Because the Vinnie Eastwood Show will find you. On AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And it's interesting that song, Nowhere to Run, Nowhere to Hide, came on, because that was exactly what we were talking about over the break, is that this is a new world order. Name me a country that's exempt from that definition. You got, and if you're in a tactical position in combat, whatever, and I believe that we're in combat of just in varying degrees and certain forms, like propaganda and counter-propaganda, I classify as a war, you know, counterintelligence or whatever. It's a combat situation. So there's a lot of people in the FBI and CIA, as you guys have alluded to over the break, who would advise people to either A1, get some food, get out of the cities, or B2, leave the fracking country. And I also know many Americans who have left the country for precisely this reason. Some have fit in very well and are still here today fighting the good fight. My friend John Eisen, for instance, he runs two magazines here, Exposing the Truth About Health and one about conspiracies. And my somewhat fabulous producer, Mitch, who's down here, who's been producing me for a good 2 years, and Roy Harlow down in Hamilton, who runs Rush FM, who was the very first FM affiliate that we got in New Zealand back when the show was still in its infancy. And it occurred to me that Americans have helped me almost more than my own countrymen. Rather, Americans who have come to New Zealand have supported me, a New Zealander, in my exploits in America, including being given the show by Danny Romero, American Freedom Radio, an American. Now, am I wrong, or does the American dream really still exist, but the dream that we have has simply changed its tune, kind of like the some people are living the American nightmare while other people are living the dream?
You're right. The American dream is still alive in a few people, but more importantly and more sadly, the American dream that we know is gone. The new dream is here. This dream is globalization and as the socialism. They are destroying everything, the foundations of our nation, from the religious foundation to the law foundation, the Constitution, and they are coming in after they collapse with their solution. So
you know these bizarre deviants, these mental midgets who believe in their own lies, their own agendas, you know, forcing their agendas onto people for the good, what, of the planet, of, you know, or the good of society as they see it, molding in their image. Once again, they're psychopaths. Their thought process is perverted, and really, once you get down to it, I mean, psychopathically insane people, but you know, the that's their dream, to control and to really enslave the population. Meanwhile, you've got Americans out here, people in America who have no clue, not a clue, that this agenda exists, and they're merrily walking around thinking everything is fine. And then you've got the other element that's slowly waking up, the people that we talk with and that you know, like us, who are saying, wake up, look what's going on. But you know, the American dream has been interrupted, and I'm not sure we're going to get back. Certainly not in a practical sense. When the inevitable happens, when the economic collapse happens, and it's not going to be limited to Europe, it's going to be here in the United States. You know, is it then when people stop playing with their iPods, iPhones, iPads, whatever toys they have, you know, and they start suffering withdrawals from these technological gadgets? Is that going to wake them up? Plus, we've been dumbed down. This country has been absolutely dumbed down. So you combine the dilution of our educational system, along with the compromise of our media, and you've got this perfect storm that's taking place right now. And I'll tell you something. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen here. You know, your view from New Zealand might be a little bit better and even, dare I say, more accurate.
Yeah, well, sometimes you need to look from the outside in to know exactly what the full picture is. And you know what I've found, guys? Everything that's happening to you in the United States is happening here in New Zealand. By chance, are your farm animals being fed GMO food and nobody knows about it? And so, in essence, all of your meat supply has become a cancer-causing agent?
Well, yes. Well, yeah. Coincidentally, it's, you know, yeah.
Well, incidentally, New Zealand's been importing genetically modified palm kernel, which is a byproduct of the palm oil industry, to feed to all our cattle. Uh-huh. All of our clean, green New Zealand. Yep, that's nice. By chance, have you got fluoride in the water?
Yes, we do here in our county. In our county, there is. And let me tell you something. I call the water people, and I've debated with them many, many times about this. I mean, it's incredible. And talking with your producer before the show, you had a hit piece done on you for speaking out about fluoride in the water. Is that correct?
Did I?
Well, they...
Were you taking the task over fluoride? I mean, what's your problem with fluoride? Come on, man. You got to save your chicklets.
There was a cop who spoke to me at a protest, and he was kind of trying to talk about chemtrails. With cops, you kind of have to dodge them laterally and simply change the subject rather than admitting guilt. So what I did is I said, hey, it looks like your lips are pretty dry, bro. And he's like, yeah, it's just a dry lips. And I say, you need to be really hydrating yourself more with a bit of water, but make sure that it's not tap water. And he's like, why is that? It's because it's got fluoride in it. And he goes, well, isn't that good for your teeth? And I say, well, if it's topical, sure, but if you're swallowing it, it's no better for your teeth than sunscreen would be for your skin if you were to swallow it, sort of thing. So you just change the topic and you start going off of that. And then you tell them that dental fluorosis, which is a white mottling of the teeth, is now actually a worse problem than dental decay. And in fact, it's more expensive to treat. And
wow.
Dentists make more money off of the side effects of fluoride than the disease that they allege that they're putting the fluoride into the water for in the first place. And then we had the head of the Fluoride Action Network in New Zealand, my good friend Mary Byrne, on mainstream media, and she's debating with some dentist who's just like some scum, you know, just lying scum trash. Mm-hmm. I hate those people. But what was really hilarious is she was talking about how it's a toxin and that sort of thing. And they had footage rolling by her of a council worker wearing a hazmat suit and a breathing apparatus dumping the fluoride into the water supply.
Unreal.
Yeah, stick your toothbrush in that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. By chance, are your politicians elected after being financed by banking cartels and then put World Bank-affiliated scum trash in there, or UN appointees or World Health Organization experienced people or trilateral commission members or something like that as part of their key cabinet and also to run your reserve bank system that controls your currency?
Yeah, only about 99.5% of them.
Yeah,
because that happens here too. Our current Prime Minister, John Key, worked for 2 years on the Federal Reserve Board of New York as Merrill Lynch's representative. He was the head of the European Bond and Derivatives Trade, which Money Magazine said was one of the prime causes of the 2008 financial crisis. 2008 being the year that John Key, wait for it, campaigned on a platform of change and became elected.
Nice.
Yeah, the change. They don't tell you what the change is. It's definitely changed, though. And as we see with Obama, I mean, look at everything he promised in his first term and did not come through on, and somehow he still managed to get reelected.
I think they mean change as in they're going to steal most of your cash and change is all you'll be left with.
Yes.
Well,
yes, or change from a constitutional republic to a tyrannical police state.
Man, yeah. Wow. So I don't want to be cynical here, but yeah. No, wait a second. I just think maybe you're just being too conspiratorial, Vinny. I don't think this is happening on a global scale. It can't. And I don't know. Yeah, I'm just being funny, I guess. You know, it's, again, sometimes you deal with this every day, and you just look at these headlines, and you look at what's really going on, and then you turn on the tube, and you watch these people just. Clueless. They're clueless. And how do we fight this? I mean, how can you fight stupid?
It becomes much like an immune system will react to a foreign virus by analyzing it and then sending its white blood cells in to attack it and destroy it, and then other cells later on to gobble it up and remove the waste. Such is the movement now of the new media that I think we're actually on the road to well achieving that little by little, step by step. You've got to... if you want to oppose brainwashing, you've got to realize that I'm brainwashed.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. You know, the road to wisdom is realizing how unwise you are. The road to knowledge is realizing how much you don't know.
Personal journey. I mean, look, that was my personal journey. You got to understand that. I guess you've got to realize that you're looking at things all wrong, and that what you think you know, you don't know necessarily. It's not true, or you know. And once you come to that realization, I suppose you've got something to work with at that point. But yeah, man.
Essentially, it's about coming back to solid ground and a new understanding of the nature of reality. You get brought up through the education system to say that reality is this, and it's a tiny little box. It's kind of like looking at a wall 2 inches away from it, and you can't see anything else but about maybe one brick and maybe a few blurry outlines of other bricks. And what we're saying is that's the position you've been in for your entire life, and there's a whole other world out there. You've got to start from scratch. That's part of where the depression and the anger and the frustration comes from within the truth movement community is I've been lied to my entire life and wasted the vast majority of my life believing lies and leading my life in a direction that wasn't good for me, and now I have to start again? It's like you finally graduate from high school. You're like, thank God. I don't have to deal with those idiots anymore. I don't have to deal with these morons who are trying to teach me BS. I don't have to deal with these bullies in my class. I don't have to deal with falling asleep while doing a math project. You know, that kind of thing. And right. Then they say, sorry, your diploma doesn't count for anything, and you're going to have to do the whole thing again. How effed off would you be if you had to do high school again?
Actually, I wouldn't be too disappointed. I wish I could go back and do things right because I was kind of a troublemaker. But to your point,
well, in the context point, he's talking, yeah, you know, you've got that anger and that reluctance, and yeah, of course. But how succinctly did you really create that mental picture? And I think that's a great mental picture that you did create for the way it is. And you know, I mean, people right now have to realize that we're just so close to a global economic collapse, an orchestrated global economic collapse. We're close to a global war.
Yeah.
And heavy stuff.
If people would put their pride and egos aside and just understand, like the rest of us, that we don't know everything, and like you said, to start from scratch, to look at everything with an open mind, if everyone could do that, we'd see it turn around so fast. But unfortunately, you know, people won't even put their ego aside to admit they're wrong on small things, let alone things of a New World Order conspiracy. So I don't know. It's difficult.
Well, guys, I'm afraid, like the movie 2012, I wish we had more time, but we don't. So if you want to go to their website, ladies and gentlemen, homelandsecurityus.com. That's Homeland Security. That's easy to remember. US.com. Doug and Joe Hagman, the hosts of the show Hagman and Hagman, which will be coming up on Blog Talk Radio in about 20 minutes' time. Gentlemen, it's been stellar.
Thank you so much, and I will say this. We are allies, even though we're a half world apart. God bless you.
Thanks, man. All right, and to all of those in the intelligence community listening who are just calling us crazy or whatever and want to be part of the system, just remember, every single tyrant who rises to power kills all the people who helped him get there because they're the only ones who can bring him down from the inside. All right? So if you help him get there, you're going to die first. Before all these other people, everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not, then it's not the end. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and we just had the Hagmans, Hagman and Hagman. And I think that as a young guy, you speak to your elders, those perhaps with more experience, and you think to yourself, how can I, as a young, inexperienced person, benefit from the knowledge and wisdom of my elders best? And the difficulty being a host or anything of that nature, well, actually, probably the best thing about it, really, is that I have not enough time to listen to a large amount of their shows or consume much of their content because I'm so busy creating my own. But I do get the opportunity to speak with them, to bring them on the show and create things together, to go on their programs and share contacts, help each other out, collaborate in any conceivable way possible. And this is something that I've been so deeply appreciative of, and not just for the guests that come on the show, but also the enormous quantity of knowledge of the listenership to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and the listeners that I've spoken with, very, very switched on individuals. And it's like you spend most of your life dealing with idiots who don't freaking get it, and now, finally, yes, I'm surrounded all day, every day with people who do get it, who are onto it, who do care. And maybe that was one of my biggest problems with the corporate world as a younger guy, is that all these people didn't care, whether that be care about the customers. They didn't have empathy or sympathy or a willingness to do good, regardless of whether or not it was 100% good for them or 100% good for another person or whatever. It kind of made this sort of selfish mentality. And that didn't click with me very well at all. Speaking of a selfish mentality, New Zealand's key green growth areas outlined. Promoters say New Zealand has an international advantage in seven zones, but barriers remain. Promoters of green growth in New Zealand have mapped out seven areas where this country has an international advantage, but say there remain barriers to capitalizing on them. The government's decision not sign up for fresh commitments under the Kyoto Protocol was also a setback to how the country was perceived, they say. What, you mean the Kyoto Protocol, which, what was their name? Coopers and Lybrand, or some big accounting firm in New Zealand. The name escapes me. It'll probably hit me later on after the broadcast, and I'll kick myself for not coming up with it. PricewaterhouseCoopers, that's the one, said that we would make $1 billion. Make $1 billion off the original Kyoto Protocol. Instead, we wound up losing $1 billion. That's called fraud. Have you got a 200% margin of error? A major report out today reviews New Zealand's green growth opportunities and outlines how the government and the private sector can best complement each other in helping New Zealand get ahead in the quote-unquote green race. What's fascism? It's when the corporations take over the state and promoting public-private partnerships so that the state will gradually wither away into corporate hands, and then people will no longer be citizens. They will instead be allegedly wards of the state, partners in the company of your country. Public-private partnerships is how it's going, and this is the real green agenda. It's fascism. People don't get this. They don't think that there's somebody sitting around with dreadlocks waving a stop climate change sign, let's help the poor of Africa, has no idea that what they're doing essentially is a fascist promotional activity. The report's green growth opportunities for New Zealand was done by Vivid Economics in London in conjunction with the University of Auckland Business School. So, well, a So you got a bunch of business people involved trying to save the environment, eh? They don't seem to know, I don't think. If big business knew how to save the environment, it wouldn't be so fracked up in the first place, would it? So of course, how do you solve the problem? You get the same people who caused the frickin' problem in the first place to come in and solve it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that works every time, doesn't it? It finds New Zealand could benefit from global green investment patterns in two main ways: by exporting to nations investing in green goods and services, by importing new technology and ideas to create efficiencies at home. Namely, this is what they're going to do. They're going to export our now covertly genetically modified beef under the guise that it's green and grass-fed and what have you, as I alluded to on yesterday's program. Through Miss Sue Kedgley's analysis. The other element is creating efficiencies at home, things like smart meters, who can give the power company, who are controlled by the government in this country, who are controlled by the corporations in this country, and yours, will be able to, like, switch off your smart appliances, you know? You're using too much hot water in the shower there, you know? You just got home from a long day's work or whatever, and you want to have a shower because you're real filthy, and you want to have a bit of a soak for about maybe 10 minutes in the shower, and the nice steamer just go, and then all of a sudden the hot water turns off. Beep, 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 beep. You're an energy waster. Frack that. Oh, my God. Talk about tyranny, man. That's called efficiency. Efficiency of not being able to escape from an evil system. The potential economic opportunities are significant. Oh, yeah, we've heard that one before. The International Energy Agency estimates that global investments in low-carbon energy alone could reach more than $3 trillion US dollars per year by 2050 if the world shifts to an ambitious green growth track. There'll probably be $3 billion that they'll take in from carbon taxes, which they'll give directly to the bankers, who will expand them using fractional reserve lending, ad infinitum, and then buy up any remaining wealth and individual personal property privately anyway. Okay, so that's the message here, ladies and gentlemen. You're a slave, you'll be a tenant on your own land. Isn't that nice and good for the economy? That's what they're saying. Of course they don't freaking tell you that. I've listened to myself doing these analyses of the media, and I actually surprised myself how much more I know than these media twats. Well, because they don't know anything, and so naturally they get in a position where they can tell stuff that they don't know to way, way, way more people. Pure Advantage commissioned the report and says it is not driven by environmental idealism or fear of climate change, but had some active steps that were already in train. Okay, so let me get this straight. The reason why we're saving the climate is not out of the environment's sake or because of climate change. What's everybody being told it's about? Exactly that. And now the business comes out and says, well, actually, it's nothing to do with that, but still we're doing it for the environment. So they're just lying scum. The potential green growth export opportunities for trade in New Zealand include sustainable agriculture products and services, geothermal energy, biotechnology, and forestry, including second-generation biofuels. Well, actually, biofuels do kill a lot of people. And incidentally, the corn prices worldwide have like doubled relatively significantly, haven't they? Due to people actually growing corn for biofuel, which is one of the most efficient forms of growing biofuel. In fact, you can get about, what, four times as much from industrial hemp? But I don't want to legalize that. No. Well, I need just to legalize it for recreational use, because that's all we can really handle at the moment, because people are waking up to that a lot faster than they are in the potential of industrial hemp to basically replace the entire economy, which the elite currently control. In the domestic economy, opportunities include improvements in building, transport, energy efficiency, and electricity grid technology. Wasn't I talking about smart meters earlier? And improvements in building? What do you mean? Like making slave blocks along every single railroad track, which is what the transport is really about, to make transport a lot more accessible to people by herding them into the cities and forcing them into that, and then making compliance costs for having a personal vehicle conveyance so expensive that people will not have a choice but to use the government's own transport system, which will restrict their movement to certain areas around certain places and what have you. And the ability to travel of your own accord to any area you like is core, I believe, to a lot of economic prosperity. Could you imagine how prosperous this nation would be if petrol was free? You know? But that's not the agenda here. The agenda is to make everything more efficient and sustainable, i.e. take away every single advantage that you've possibly got and tax you to death otherwise. That's pretty much it, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoy it, because it's coming. And if you want to keep supporting it and not understanding it,